Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown.
This is episode 83. The closure you're waiting for isn't coming, and that's okay. Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the podcast where we don't just grow, we let go of the stories that no longer serve us, even when those stories never gave us the ending we hoped for. I'm Nicholas, and today's episode is one I've danced around for a long time. Not because I didn't want to talk about it, but because I hadn't fully lived it until recently. We all have that one wound, the unanswered question, the conversation we keep rewriting in our heads, the moment we replay late at night wondering, what did I miss? Why didn't they just tell me the truth? Was any of it real? Closure. It's such a beautiful word. It promises a clean ending, a full circle, a satisfying conclusion that lets you walk away with peace. But what if I told you that some chapters don't end with punctuation, but with your own decision to stop turning the page back? This episode, it isn't about bitterness. It's not about pretending something didn't hurt or convincing yourself you're above it. It's about the radical shift that happens when you stop waiting for someone to make it right. When you stop needing an apology to decide that you deserve peace. When you stop needing to understand their actions in order to choose your own healing. This is the kind of detachment that doesn't harden you. It frees you, because the truth is, sometimes the people who hurt us aren't capable of giving us what we need to heal. Not because we weren't worthy of it, but because they were never capable of seeing us clearly to begin with. And when we base our healing on being seen by someone else, we stay stuck in a loop of trying to prove our pain is real. This episode is about breaking that loop. It's about becoming the closure. And if you've been in that space where you thought one more text, one more explanation, or one more chance to be heard would fix everything, this is your permission to stop reaching outward and start turning inward. We're going to talk about what happens when the apology never comes, when the story never makes sense, when they walk away and you're left trying to make sense of something that was never built to make sense. We're going to talk about what happens when the apology never comes, when the story never makes sense. When they walk away, you're left trying to make sense of something that was never built to make sense. We'll talk about the grief of that, but also the power that waits on the other side of it. Because there's a version of you that doesn't need to bow at the ending to walk away. There's a version of you that knows you get to choose peace even when things are still messy. And I know that version of you exists because I've had to find him in myself over and over again. That's what this episode is for. A soft release. A permission slip to stop needing to be understood in order to move forward. So if you're ready, take a breath, relax your shoulders, and let this be a moment you realize you're not waiting anymore. And just a quick reminder, if you're navigating that in-between space where clarity hasn't come yet, I created something that might help. My free Start With Why Clarity Guide. It's available right now on my website. It's simple, it's grounding, and it's meant to bring you back to your own voice when everything around you feels uncertain. Alright, let's get into it. There's this idea we carry that closure is a moment, a conversation, a final chapter that wraps everything up in a bow, where all the tension dissolves into clarity, where someone sits across from us, finally ready to own what they did, to validate what we felt, to say, you were right to feel hurt, you mattered to me, I'm sorry. And if we're honest, a part of us clings to that fantasy, because it feels like the only way to make sense of the pain. We want closure to soothe the sting that comes from being left confused, misunderstood, or discarded. We imagine the person who hurt us finally waking up, reaching out, realizing the damage they caused, and taking full responsibility. But more often than not, that moment doesn't come. And even if it does, it never quite lands the way we thought it would. The apology we waited for months, and the explanation we thought would change everything, it rarely hits the way the fantasy version did in our head. Because closure isn't actually about them. It never was. Closure is about acceptance, and acceptance isn't always clean or comfortable. It's messy, it's raw, it's quiet. It's the moment you realize you might never get what you wanted, but you still get to choose your next step. The fantasy of closure is seductive because it offers us control in a moment we feel powerless. If we could just get the final word, just understand why, just be told we're right or enough or worthy, then maybe the ache in our chest would ease. But what I've learned over and over again is that no one else can give you what you won't give yourself. And sometimes the greatest act of self-love is refusing to stay in waiting. Different faces, same ache, same silence, same questions swirling in my head, wondering what I could have done differently to make someone stay long enough to tell me goodbye. But that wondering, that spiraling, it was a trap disguised as logic. It felt like closure seeking, but really it was self-abandonment. Because what I was really saying was, I don't trust my own experience. I need them to validate it. And that's where so many of us get stuck. We think closure is clarity, but sometimes it's just code for I don't want to sit with the unknown. But what if the unknown isn't the enemy? What if closure isn't something you wait for, but it's something you decide? Not because it didn't matter, not because they didn't hurt you, but because you matter more than the version of you who's still standing in the doorway waiting to be picked. The longer I chased the fantasy of closure, the longer I delayed my own healing. Because the truth is, even if they did explain themselves, even if they wrote a 10-page apology, it wouldn't undo what happened. It wouldn't change the way I doubted myself when they disappeared without warning. It wouldn't erase the nights I stayed up replaying conversations like forensic evidence. It wouldn't bring me back to peace, because peace was never theirs to give. I had to find it myself, and that's when the fantasy cracked, when I stopped needing their explanation and started giving myself compassion. When I stopped rehearsing what I'd say if they reached out and started speaking directly to the parts of me that needed to be seen, not by them, but by me. Closure doesn't look like a perfect ending. It looks like you waking up one morning and realizing you're not going to carry their silence anymore. It looks like walking away, even when there's no clear conclusion, no satisfying finish line. It looks like choosing peace over proving your point. Letting go doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It means you matter more. And I know, that doesn't sound as romantic as the version of closure we've been taught to crave, but it's so much more powerful. Because you're no longer outsourcing your healing to someone who may never be able to meet you where you are. You're reclaiming it, and in that reclaiming, you're writing your own ending. Even if it's unfinished, even if it's quiet, even if it's just the beginning of something new, you're no longer waiting, you're choosing, and that's where the real healing begins. That's not to say that there's no grief that comes with that. There's a kind of grief that hits even when the story doesn't make sense. When the person you trusted disappears without reason, when the connection that felt mutual suddenly goes one-sided, when the energy shifts and you can feel it, undeniably, but no one gives you the decency of an explanation. It's not just the heartbreak that hurts, it's the confusion, the mental haze you get trapped in, trying to figure out how you ended up here again. Because if there was at least a reason, you could make peace with it. If the story had a clear villain or a lesson or even a warning sign, you could process it and move forward. But when there's no reason, no closure, no sense to be made, that's when your mind tries to fill in the blanks. And it rarely does it with compassion. It starts with subtle thoughts. Maybe I came on too strong. Maybe I expected too much. Maybe I'm not as intuitive as I thought. Maybe I misread everything. And before you know it, you've rewritten the entire story with yourself as the problem. This is where so many of us abandon ourselves. Not because we want to, but because we're trying to make the pain make sense. We start performing mental gymnastics, convincing ourselves that if we were just a little more chill, a little less emotional, a little more detached, we wouldn't be hurting like this. But here's the thing, you can't logically think your way out of an emotional experience. You can't fix confusion with shame. You can't soothe heartbreak by silencing your truth. And you don't have to. What I've learned, slowly, painfully, but truthfully, is that sometimes the story doesn't make sense because it wasn't yours to write in the first place. Their silence? Not your fault. Their inability to be honest? Not your burden. Their refusal to meet you in the depth you're willing to go? Not a reflection of your worth. It took me years to understand that just because a connection felt real doesn't mean it was meant to last. And just because someone couldn't show up for me doesn't mean I was asking for too much. It might just mean they weren't capable. And that doesn't make them a villain necessarily, but it does mean I don't need to keep writing chapters in a book they've already closed. Still, letting go of the story is hard, because sometimes the potential was beautiful. Sometimes it almost worked. Sometimes you really believed that if you had just held a little longer, they'd meet you halfway. But potential isn't partnership, and almost isn't the same as available. The story might not make sense, but that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to move forward. You don't need all the answers to begin again. You don't need a clean ending to honor what you felt. You don't need to be understood by someone else to understand yourself more deeply. And that's what these moments teach us, if you're willing to listen. Not how to perform better, not how to shrink or shapeshift, but how to stay grounded in our truth, even when the world doesn't mirror it back. Because sometimes the only closure you get is your own commitment to stop rereading a chapter that no longer honors the version of you who wrote it. You may never know why they left, why they ghosted, why they shifted, why they stopped texting, why they pulled away just when you felt the closest, why it all unraveled after it seemed like things were finally aligning. You might never know, but here's what you can know. You showed up with heart. You stayed open even when it would have been easier to close. You were honest in a world that rewards performance. You were present in moments where most people ghosted themselves out of. You loved. You risked. You tried. And that matters. Even if it wasn't meant, even if the story doesn't make sense, even if the ending came too soon. Because maybe the ending isn't the point. Maybe the real story is what you do next. How you choose yourself in the absence of being chosen. How you rewrite the narrative that says you were too much. How you learn to anchor in self-trust so you're no longer waiting on external clarity to validate your internal knowing. There's something sacred about choosing peace when confusion is loud. About softening your grip on the version of the story you thought you needed in order to feel okay. This is where you meet yourself again. Not in the perfect resolution, but in the space between pages. Where everything is unclear, and yet you're still worthy of moving forward. Even when the story doesn't make sense, you still get to be the author of what comes next. There's a strange kind of comfort in being the one who was hurt, the one who loved more, the one who tried harder, gave with an open heart and got silence in return. It gives you a story, one where you are the innocent one, the loyal one, the heart-forward human who just wanted something real but ended up disappointed again. And for a while, that story feels like safety, feels like power, feels like proof that your heart was never the problem. But if you stay there too long, if you keep rehearsing the narrative without questioning it, you start to build an identity around being misunderstood. You start to need to be the one who is wronged. Because if you weren't wronged, then maybe you chose wrong. Maybe you ignored your intuition. Maybe you clung to red flags and called them warmth. And that's a much harder truth to sit with. So instead of meeting ourselves with compassion, we perform the heartbreak. We become really good at telling the story, at highlighting the ways we were left, betrayed, ghosted, hurt. Not because we want attention, but because we want witnessing. We want someone to say, yeah, you didn't deserve that. You were right to feel what you felt. They should have treated you better. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that. Validation is human. But at some point, the performance becomes the prison, and the story becomes a substitute for the healing. Because what if being the one who was wronged isn't the full truth? What if beneath the pain, you also stayed longer than you should have? What if your silence was just as loud as theirs? What if you betrayed yourself by holding on to potential instead of reality? That's not easy to admit, but it does mean that you were a participant, not just a victim. And that's where the real healing starts. Not in blame, but in ownership. Because as long as we cling to being the one who was wronged, we unconsciously keep ourselves small. We stay frozen in a moment that was never meant to define our worth. We base our identity on the wound, not the wisdom. And here's the thing, when your identity is built around pain, it becomes really hard to let it go. Because who are you if you're not the one they walked away from? Who are you if you're no longer telling the story of what happened? What fills the space when you stop reaching for validation and start choosing peace instead? That question scared me for a long time. Because if I stopped telling the story, would the pain lose its meaning? If I forgave them, genuinely, would that make what they did okay? If I let go of the role of the one who was wronged, would that make me forget how much it hurt? But none of those fears were true. What actually happened was this. The moment I stopped performing the role of the victim, I reclaimed my power. I stopped seeking closure from people who didn't value clarity. I stopped romanticizing the what could have been. I stopped needing people to see my side of the story in order to feel whole. And something incredible happened. I met a version of myself I had never known. Not the one who needed to be saved, not the one who was always proving their worth. Not the one who kept choosing emotionally unavailable people just to reenact old wounds, but the version of me who trusted their voice, who honored their intuition, who no longer made excuses for mistreatment, just because there was potential. That version of me didn't need to be the one who was wrong. They just needed to be the one who chose to rise and stand up. And when I stepped into that version of myself, I realized how heavy the performance had been, how much energy it took to keep the narrative alive, how many moments of presence I missed because I was still mentally rehearsing a chapter that had already ended. That doesn't mean your story doesn't matter. It does. What you went through matters. The pain was real. The heartbreak was valid. But the identity built on the pain, that's what you get to release. Because the truth is, you don't have to be the one who was wrong to be worthy of love. You don't have to have suffered to deserve softness. You don't need a sob story to be met with depth and devotion. You just need to stop auditioning for roles you were never meant to keep playing. This is where you return to your power. Not because someone finally validated your pain, but because you finally validated your own truth without needing it to be proven in someone else's eyes. You're not the pain that was caused to you. You're not the version of you that tolerated that. And you're not required to keep telling that story just to justify the depth of your heart. You're allowed to be the one who let go without needing to be seen as the better one. You're allowed to be the one who forgave without needing an apology first. That's real power. The kind that doesn't scream. The kind that doesn't perform. The kind that no longer waits to be understood in order to feel whole. Somewhere along the way, we're taught that healing would mean finally arriving at peace. That clarity would cancel confusion. That strength would override our softness. That joy would replace grief. But real life isn't clean like that. Real life is messy, layered, nuanced, and so is healing. There will be days where you feel grounded and grateful and still overwhelmed. Moments where your heart is wide open and your chest is tight with anxiety. Seasons where you're so proud of how far you've come and yet quietly mourning the parts of yourself you had to leave behind. And that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It means you're human. We've grown up in a world obsessed with extremes, where something is either good or bad, true or false, love or fear, where you either are thriving or you're failing, healed or you're broken, you're certain or you're lost. But what if the real mastery of this journey isn't about choosing one or the other, but learning how to hold both? What if peace and pain can coexist? What if clarity and confusion are allowed to share the same breath? What if moving on doesn't mean you stop loving? And being strong doesn't mean you never crumble? We don't talk enough about the emotional whiplash that can come with growth. The weird ache of feeling gratitude and grief in the same heartbeat. The way you can miss someone who hurt you. And the way you can love a season that almost broke you. The way you can be expanding and contracting all at once. But the thing about duality is, it doesn't ask you to choose. It invites you to feel, to witness, to soften in the complexity of your experience without labeling it as wrong. You're allowed to have conflicting truths. It's one of the most spiritually freeing things I've ever learned. Because for most of my life, I thought I had to resolve everything. Make it make sense. Pick a side. Find the right emotion and camp out there until everything is stabilized. But that's not how the soul works. The soul isn't linear. It's oceanic. And like the tide, it will pull you in and out of feeling. Sometimes without warning. And if you keep trying to anchor into one narrative, this is who I am now, this is what I believe now, this is how I feel now, you'll always be at war with parts of you that don't fit inside that story. You'll shame yourself from still hurting, for still questioning, for still wavering in the very thing you thought you healed. But healing isn't a finish line. It's a return, a remembering, a relearning of how to be yourself when your heart feels like it's being pulled in two directions. I think about the nights I've sat in my car, sitting in silence, even after a good day, even after a breakthrough, and I used to feel like in those moments I was going backwards, like something must be wrong again. But over time I realized Those moments were my heart stretching, making room for the new without rejecting what had once been real. Because detachment isn't about cutting off your feelings. It's not about forcing yourself to be over it. It's not about numbing or bypassing or pretending something didn't impact you. Detachment is the practice of loving without clinging, of letting things matter without letting them control you, or feeling everything deeply and still choosing presence over performance. That's the true duality. You can care and let go. You can feel and release. You can want something deeply and trust yourself even if it never comes. It's a sacred kind of maturity. This ability to sit in the middle of contradiction and not need to fix it. I've had to practice this with relationships, with dreams, with my own sense of identity. Because there's always a part of me that wants resolution. That wants a clear line between then and now. Between who I was and who I'm becoming. But the truth is, most of life happens between these lines. In the space, in the becoming, in the not quite there or the no longer who I was space that nobody celebrates because it doesn't look finished enough to be proud of. But that in-between place, that's where the real transformation happens. That's where you learn how to be with yourself without needing everything to make sense. That's where you find your capacity to breathe through the discomfort instead of abandoning yourself to escape it. And it's not always poetic. Sometimes it's just you, sitting in silence, trying not to reach out to someone you miss, trying not to spiral into old thoughts, trying to hold the yes and the no in the same hand without breaking open from the weight of it all. But every time you do that, every time you stay with yourself through the contradiction, you become more whole. Not because you figured it out, but because you stopped needing to. So as we close today's episode, I want to leave you with a journal prompt and a few affirmations to help you anchor this reflection into your own life. Not just as something you listen to, but as something you begin to live. Because at the end of the day, it's not the opinions, projections, or misunderstandings that define you. It's not what they see or don't see. It's not what they assume or what they fail to ask. What shapes us, what sets us free, is our willingness to stand on our own truth. Even when no one else claps for it, when you stop needing to be understood, you start becoming magnetic to what truly understands you, not because you contorted yourself into something digestible, but because you honored your essence long enough for resonance to find you. Here's your journal prompt to sit with this week. Where in my life have I been shrinking to be understood? And what would change if I stopped needing agreement in order to feel secure? You don't have to figure it all out, but sit with it. Let it crack something open. And to seal today's episode, here are a few affirmations to carry with you. I release the need to be explained. I am peace in my truth. I honor what feels aligned, even when no one else sees it. I'm no longer available for shrinking to be understood. I trust that what is meant for me will recognize me without translation. And if this episode resonated with you, if you're in a season of unraveling and redefining, don't forget to get your free Start with Why Clarity guide. Until next week, I'm Nicholas, and this is Metanoia Madness. Signing off.